Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can you hear me? This one's on, is it? Right. We don't have Norman this morning because part of Norman's duties just now as interim moderator at Kelty means he has to take communion there today. So we shall be managing without Norman. But before we go further, can I hand over to Alison for the intimations?
Good morning, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. And you may wish to sign the visitor's book if you are a visitor. And the service today has been prepared by the worship team. We've been having warm spaces now since January, every Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 to 5, and every second week it's a movie. And this week it's going to be just warm spaces with games and tea, but next week it's going to be Mamma Mia that's going to be shown. Pirates Penzance are on at the Carnegie Hall from the 16th to the 18th of February, Gilbert and Sullivan, and tickets are available via Karen Grant or the Society website for info. Banner Groups meets every Monday in the manse at 7:30 p.m. and are currently considering new projects as well as repairing our existing banners. Contact Dorothy Downey on 881 379 for more info. Founders Day Thinking Day Parade. The youth organisations will mark Founders Day and Thinking Day with us on Sunday the 26th of February. This is later than normal due to midterm holidays. Kirk Session will meet on Wednesday the 22nd of February at 7:30 p.m. in the church. And other intimations are on the printed sheet, which can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you don't have a copy. And finally, our Zoom, for people on Zoom, there's the order of service. Now, there are a couple of extra intimations. The World Day of Prayer, which used to be the Women's World Day of Prayer, it's Friday the 3rd of March, and it's 2 p.m. in the Rosyth Methodist Church. And this year it's written by Christian Women of Taiwan, and all are welcome. I have heard about your faith. There's a couple of copies of this in the on the way out if you're interested. The band of His Majesty's Royal Marines Scotland are going to be playing a concert in Limekilns on Thursday the 2nd of March at 7:30. Again, this will be outside for people to look at on the way out. Now, Karen Grant, the Minister's wife, has asked us to intimate that there's a conference being held for women in Limekilns Church on Saturday the 15th of April at 10 o'clock, and it's to get all the West Fife churches women together, just to be working together as we go forward into the future with this being a more joint area. So again, there's some invitations and they'll be out on the table if people are interested later. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison. There are a couple more, in fact. Someone asked me this morning about Turkey and the earthquake and whether we're having a collection. And we haven't organised that, but I would encourage you, if you can, to consider making a donation or reading the information on Turkey. The other one is to remind you that there's a memorial service in church on Thursday morning, 11:30 for Ian Beamish. This Thursday, 11:30. So can we take just a moment to settle our minds and remember that we're here to worship God? Amen. And shall we start our worship with our first hymn, which is Come, Now Is the Time to Worship, number 196 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
So, note to self to change that slide. We've used it before, so I didn't make it for this week. And it clearly at least needs the words repeat. And we need to work out how it fits with the music. Anyway, thank you. Shall we dedicate our offering? Let us pray. Father, we present to you these gifts, both the gifts in the plate and those we make through the banking system. We bring these to you in love and pray that they might be used wisely to spread the news of your love in our world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now Rosemary is going to lead us in prayer. However, Rosemary's lost her voice this morning, so Rob is going to read Rosemary's prayers for us. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, unfortunately, Rosemary's got a bad cold and can't read out the prayers, but the words I'm reading are those that were prepared and written by Rosemary. Let us pray. Generous and loving God, we come here today amazed by all that you provide for us. Your love flows like a stream into the ocean of your grace. Your love encircles this world, displaying your faithfulness. Your love is patient and kind, bringing wholeness and true peace. Your love is all we desire to heal our brokenness. We come to you with all our faith and all our doubts, knowing, hoping, praying that you hear us always. In times of weakness and out of need, your love is the strength by which we carry on. Almighty and everlasting God, you know each one of us. You know our gifts and skills. You know our faults and failures. You know our place in your created world. Father God, you are the one who leads us from darkness into light, from anxiety into peace, from despair into joy. Yet, so often we long to break free, choosing independence, convinced of our own wisdom, forgetting your love and your grace. Forgive us, merciful Father. Draw close to us and embrace us once again in your loving arms as we come to know you, as we come to you now in our thoughts to say sorry. Loving Father, show us where we can serve. Open our eyes that we might see. Make us mindful of your wishes as we now place ourselves in your care and join together in saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Second hymn today is number 467 in the hymn book, All My Days I Will Sing the Song of Gladness. Hymn 467.
Thank you.
a vital instruction there. It had a very short intro, which I had noticed, but I forgot to say. Can I invite Alistair to speak to us, the first of our talks today? Thank you.
Okay, I'm getting there. The Lord is God and the Lord is good. His love endures forever. As we shall see from our readings this morning, God is love. It's perhaps no surprise that John in his letter wrote so much about love. As a disciple, he heard Jesus' command to love, which John wrote about in his gospel, where he even refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Not that Jesus didn't love the others. John's favourite theme is not merely God's love for us, but also our love for God and others. For genuine love for God is bound to show itself in action towards others. Billy Graham made comment on this. He said, "The word love is used to mean many different things. We say that we love the house we just bought, or that we love a particular holiday spot, or that we love a peanut butter sandwich." You don't really, do you? We also love our husband or wife, and hopefully we don't love our spouse the same way as we love a peanut butter sandwich. He goes on, "The greatest love of all, however, is God's love for us, a love that showed itself in action." There's a natural connection between the love of God the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for us, and our love for each other. Much the same way, there is a close connection between obedience, love, and joy. Obedience to the love of Christ is the only route to lasting joy. Jesus calls us to keep his commands and so remain in his love. And therefore, obedience and love go together. We see in him the importance of obedience and the example of Christ. A little girl won a prize in a flower show. Her entry was grown in an old cracked teapot kept in the attic window of a rundown tenement. When asked how she managed to raise such a lovely flower in an unlikely environment, she said she moved it around so that it would always be in the sunlight. So we too must keep ourselves in the warmth of Christ's love. We abide in his love when we show love to others. That's the way to stay in the sunshine. Yet we're not called to some kind of slavish behaviour, grudgingly following rules and regulations. The Christian way is not meant to be weary, for Jesus, his desire is for his disciples' joy to be complete. We for whom Jesus died are not so much his servants as his friends. A servant simply does what his or her master commands and often doesn't understand the purpose. But Jesus takes his friends into his confidence, as he did with the disciples. In the death of Christ, for us, God has shown us what love is. And there's nothing more that anyone can give than life itself. And Christ's love was not only shown in words, but also in his sacrificial death. And it's a reminder of how precious we are in his sight. In Jesus' time, disciples or students, the Hebrew being Talmidim, I know I'm just showing off, I'm just trying to impress you with my vast knowledge of Hebrew, but be assured, when it comes to Hebrew, it's all Greek to me. Talmidim means learner, and a learner dedicated himself, and I say himself because mostly it was men, very few women, very few females, so Lena would dedicate himself to learning a rabbi's understanding of Scripture and his way of living it out. The point is that each learner would choose and seek out his own teacher, his own rabbi. And as believers, we are not those who have chosen Jesus, but those who Jesus has chosen. And we may feel that we did choose to follow him, that it was our decision. But as Christians, we are believers because we are meant to be believers. God loved us first. Jesus chose his disciples for a purpose, the purpose of bearing fruit, and he enables us also to bear fruit. John declares that the love of God is shown in action by sending Jesus as an atoning sacrifice, so that as believers we might live through him. And our love is simply a response to his. If we really share his life, his nature, that love must flow through us to all around. John writes, whoever does not love does not know God. Only those to some degree who are like him truly know him. A farmer installed a weather vane inscribed with the words, God is love. And one day a traveller stopped by the farm and watched the weather vane moving with the breeze. With a smirk on his face, he said, do you mean to say that your God is as variable and changeable as the wind? And the farmer shook his head, no. What it means is that no matter which way the wind blows, God is love. God is love means that love is the essence of God's character. And as we see Christ dying on the cross, we catch a glimpse of the beauty of the loving heart of God. And since our love has its source in God's love, his love reaches its full expression, is made complete when we love others, especially our fellow Christians. Thus, God, whom no one has ever seen, is seen in us who love, because God lives in us. In his essential nature and in all his actions, God is loving. And John similarly affirms that God is spirit and light, as well as holy, powerful, faithful, just, and true. We could perhaps think of those as adjectives, aspects of his love. God's love is a holy love, a powerful love, a faithful love, a just love, a true love. The Lord is good, and that his love and faithfulness are unfailing through all time. And so God showed us his enduring love by sending his Son. Therefore, we ought to obey his commands and love one another. Brandon was a 3-year-old wee boy, and one day his father was sitting in the lounge sitting room eating some chalk chip cookies. Brandon thinks to himself, I know that Daddy likes a glass of milk with his chalk chip cookies. So Brandon drags a chair across the kitchen floor and gets up on top of it and gets to the kitchen cabinet, opens the door, wham, gash, as it bashes into the adjoining cupboard door. So he reaches in to get a glass, crash, tinkle, tinkle. But Brandon doesn't care, he's going to get Daddy a glass of milk. So meanwhile, Daddy gets up from his chair and goes to see what he can save of his kitchen. Meanwhile, Brandon reaches the fridge door and opens it wide open and reaches in for the big 6-pinter of milk. So he's got the glass on the floor and he starts to pour the milk. Most of it goes in the glass. Some of it goes in the glass, most of it goes on the floor. Anyway, he picks it up and sets out through, Daddy, I've got something for you. And as he runs towards Daddy, he trips and the milk goes all over Daddy. The attic looks, Brandon stands up and he looks around and he starts to cry and the tears are pouring down his face and he looks around. But Daddy just smiles doesn't matter that he's destroyed half his kitchen. All he sees is a beautiful wee boy. It doesn't matter, the mess can be cleared up. But he stretches out to hold his wee boy. He says, "This is my son." And that's how our Heavenly Father looks on us. He looks on us and says, "This is my son, this is my daughter." But he loves us unconditionally, and he calls upon us to do the same. So how will you respond to his love?
Thank you, Alistair. And now, as it says on your order, George is going to read for us. But Alison is being George this morning. There are very few of the names that are right on that order this morning.
Yes, I'll try and sound a bit more like George. This morning's readings are taken from, the first reading is Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5, "The Lord is good." Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And then we read from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. Love comes from God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. But this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Then we read from John 15, verses 9 to 17, love each other. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I will no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from you, my Father, I have made known to you. You do not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Amen, and may God add his blessing to his holy word. Thank you.
Our next song is in Mission Praise. I don't know if anyone's using the hymn book, but if so, bear in mind this is Mission Praise, and it's number 619, Such Love. Mission Praise 619.
Such love.
Doug, I forgot to warn you, there are extra slides here. So if I say next, could you just hit them on? So next, please. You've already heard passages from the Bible, three in fact, today, but I'm going to give you some more. Matthew 22 at verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Next, please. Matthew 5 at 43. "You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And then in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians 13, and that very well-known passage, just a snippets from it. Verse 4, "Love is patient, love is kind." Verse 7, "It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And at 13, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." Amen. Thank you. It says talk up there, but feel free to report me to the Trade Descriptions Act, because this has got to be a conversation. I don't have a script. And I'm sure when someone breaks the ice, we'll be fine. But I need you to take part. So can I ask you simply to say something about all the readings that you've heard today? Anybody? Thank you, Marion. All on the theme of love. We departed from the lectionary today just because we're so close to Valentine's Day, so you're going to see a lot about love this week. It seemed hard not to do love today. So they're all on the theme of love. Anything else? What about compared to Job 11:12? "But the witless can no more become wise than a wild donkey's colt can be born human." Heard that verse before? What about the readings we have heard? Are they familiar?
Yes.
Okay. Is that helpful when it comes to thinking about them, trying to get meaning? Or is it a danger?
To me, the Corinthians one was read at my daughter's wedding, and that took me back to that.
That's good, so it's meaningful.
That was part of, in fact, she asked me to read it, so
yes,
I did that reading at her wedding. So
yeah. So for the recording, Sandra's saying it's often used at weddings, the Corinthians one, so we are familiar with it.
But then similarly, it was read at my husband's funeral service.
At funerals too. So when I looked at it, I thought, well, what can we say about it? God loves you. Now, there is a statement that can be transformational to someone in a dark place who's maybe not heard it or thought about it before. But I saw the danger for us that... do you remember, I think it's going out of fashion now, but you know the American phrase, "have a nice day"? And the cliche of the supermarket checkout operator going, "Kerching, have a nice day. Kerching, have a nice day." You know, if we were to do that at the door here on the way out, and God loves you, you know, God loves you, do you stop and think about it? And that I saw as a danger. It's so familiar that maybe it passes straight through our head and doesn't engage our brain. So this week of all weeks, what would encourage you to think about it? And Alistair spoke to us about God's love and its nature. So there are some things think about there and meditate on perhaps this week, especially our response to God loving us. Where are we? How about the one, love, the greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That easy? Very difficult, isn't it? But it's aspirational and one that the Spirit can help us with. So these two about our personal relationship with God, I think it's up to us to work on them, and we can work on them. If we move on to love each other, so are there any issues there? love each other. Marion, do you love Rob? You don't need to answer. What's the difficulty when we start looking at each other and saying, do we love each other? Yeah. And if you think about neighbours, do you love all your neighbours? Yeah. And how about enemies? You must have watched the rugby yesterday. Do you think were those two teams in love with each other? I think there was a lot of niggle going on there. We're all right afterwards. This part? I'll say, yeah.
Remember, as I was finishing here, saying God's love is unconditional, but that doesn't mean anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all welcome by him. Him just as I am, without one plea.
Mm-hmm.
We all come as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay as we are, and he wants us to be, transformed.
Yeah. But it is helpful that God's love is unconditional. It doesn't depend on us. I wonder if part of the difficulties with the word love itself, what do we think of in love? The next slide.
Because it used to be faithful charity.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Words can change. Language can change. I'm learning Gaelic. In Gaelic, love isn't a verb. You have love for something. That's different as well. You may remember Norman teaching on this. It didn't certainly come from me, but I looked it up again. There are four Greek words for love. So the first one, Doug, if you hit next. Eros. So I think this is the one we're going to hear most about on Tuesday. Eros is the attraction between two folk, the sexual attraction between folk. I don't know, I don't want to say too much about that, but you can remember the excitement when maybe you were a teenager. Personally, I was never brave enough to send an anonymous Valentine. I got one once, but no idea why. And then when you're in a relationship, when you have a girlfriend, and especially a fiancé, isn't the pressure on to impress at that stage? The biggest Valentine, the best bunch of flowers. And when you're in a relationship, what does it become about affirmation, maybe, after that? I hope we all still have excitement in their relationships, but we'd like to affirm them too. So we can think about Eros this week as well, especially on Tuesday. The next one, Philia, is about your chums. So if you have a bond of attraction, this is a bond of companionship. And you can imagine there might be a Venn diagram here, because you'd like to hope that your partner, your spouse, is a chum as well. But there'll be more than that, so your circle of chums is bigger. The ones that you like spending time with, you have shared interests. So that is a form of love. You just love being with those folk. And the next one, Doug. I don't know how to say this one. I don't think it's storge. It's maybe storge. Anybody know? This is the bond of kinship. So this is family. This is your clan. This is the wayward cousin that you defend even though you can't stand him. He's one of yours. He's one of your own. And I suppose that's a form of tough love, isn't it, storge? And then lastly, the agape, which I think is the one most used by Jesus. I may be wrong, but when he says love each other, it's this form of, we maybe need other words, I think of it as respect, as putting the other before yourself, as even a complete stranger, you might happily do a favour for them. It's that kind of thing. So what do we do about that one? See where I am in my notes. Well, the situation in Turkey is a form of agape, if we can do anything at all. They're certainly collecting money. I don't know if there are appeals for clothing and stuff. I haven't seen yet, but we know how to do that. What might be more difficult is that's meeting a need, and I think we all know how to respond to needs, or would like to think we do. But what about the person you just pass in the street? If you're to love everybody, how do you show love to a stranger? And What came to mind was that phrase, random acts of kindness, and who knows what might come out of it. So George and I attended the last yesterday of four of a series of morning conferences on different ways to do worship. So you can thank your lucky stars that you've not been made to make anything yet, you've not been made to draw anything yet, and you've not been made to mime anything yet, and we haven't hit you with TikTok videos that we made especially for you. All those things were in it. The one I want to talk to you about, though, is the third week when we, as we drove along to Methil, which is where the conference was, in the car, we're both thinking, all we know about this is there's an American guy who's a minister in the East of Fife somewhere who's going to talk to us about different ways of doing preaching. And maybe what comes into your head are all the cliches about American preachers, none of which are very positive in my mind. However, Jeff Martin turned out to be just the opposite. He was quite an approachable guy, quite a laid-back guy, quite a sports jackety and jersey kind of guy. And what Jeff was a wonderful storyteller. Now, if you've ever met a wonderful storyteller, you'll know that they could talk to you about carpet tiles, church law, and hold your attention. It's just their thing. And he got us from the very beginning, because he stood at the beginning and I thought he was telling us about his background, where he came from, because his background is Lutheran. So Jeff said to us, as a Lutheran, there's kind of a tradition and almost an expectation that for part of your training you'll go to Germany. And he found himself, as a relatively young man, twice in Leipzig, I think it was, so the eastern half of Germany. And his first time, he didn't really enjoy at all. He was so homesick and felt lost. And then he had to go back later in his training for a longer stint, and he determined to fit in and make friends and be part of the scene. But it still wasn't easy. And especially as he approached when Thanksgiving in America and Christmas time, he was beginning to feel homesick again. But one day, and I can't remember if he said on his doorstep or through the letterbox of his flat, here was a gift, a present wrapped up. And it was a very fine, handmade, knitted yellow scarf. And then you realise that Jeff is wearing said scarf. And it had a note with it, thinking of you from ? And the story went on that he never did discover who gave him that scarf, but it made a lot of difference to him at the time. It made so much difference that he's still talking about it more than 30 years later. So it still resonates with him, that random act of kindness. And not only that, he uses it, as he did on us, because he turned around and said, was that a sermon? He uses it in sermons, he uses it in school assemblies, and he recounted the tale of quite recently being kind of bumped into in the street by two older lads, who obviously long since left school. And one of them said, Jeff, you're wearing your scarf. So that same story had rippled out and reached, you know, another generation. And it's just intriguing to me to think what a random act of kindness might do. You might never know, but it's maybe something to think about. So maybe we do have some ammunition when it comes to Tuesday and the world is talking about love. All the aspects of love and how you might respond to God, how you might affirm your relationship, how you might look up a chum you haven't spoken to for a while, a family member you haven't spoken to for a while, or perhaps even try a random act of kindness to a stranger. The last three things I kind of add on, it was a bit from last week's, or yesterday's rather, conference, if you click the next one. The story was told yesterday of a church somewhere that had put along the front of the altar table the words, power up. And the implication was you had to power up your faith life or power up your witness. And that was the message they had to take away. But it happened to be the advertising slogan of a local oil company. So the folk that saw it in church were then reminded on every street corner and the words power up, that was what they had to do. So I had a quick look for things that might help us. I don't know whether every little helps or try something new to do help, but one's Tesco and one's Sainsbury in case you can't get the colours. But, you know, find something to remind you, I think, was the message from that little bit of teaching. So thank you. Right, now, you were given hearts as you came in, and this bit is voluntary. If you like, this is a place to participate, put something on the hearts. You could write some words, you could write a sentence, you could draw a picture, write what you think, what comes to your mind about love, any of the forms of love that we've talked about, God's love for you especially. And there's a tree, a spiky tree at the door that we want you to hang them on the way out. And there are pencils in various places that you can take. And to help you do that, the next hymn is just going to be played. It's a YouTube clip. Stay seated, please. You can join in singing if you like, or you can use the time to put something on those hearts that Marion prepared. And is adamant she doesn't want to say anything about it. So, while you look at your hearts, then let's join in or listen to hymn 770, I Love You, Lord. We come to our prayers for others now, prayers for the world. And I'll ask Rob again to read the prayers for us.
Let us pray. God of all, we come to you this morning in confusion and uncertainty, in hopefulness and hopelessness, in despair and with love, in our human frailty. God of power and might, your broken world cries out from the depths, in a world today dominated by the darkness of pain and suffering. We bring to you all the people of Turkey and Syria following the recent earthquakes. We pray for those who have died and for those who grieve. We hold in our hearts all who were injured, all who have lost loved ones, livelihoods and homes. Merciful Father, sustain and guide all who are responding to this disaster. Grant them the strength, courage and resilience to undertake all that is necessary. We give thanks for the miracles of life reported in finding survivors. We think of every individual who has been rescued, and the courage of all who have kept searching. God of compassion and grace, we continue to share with you our love and concern for the people of Ukraine. We think of President Zelensky's visitations to London and Brussels this past week, and we pray that wise and right decisions will be made to end the conflict. Father Lord, we pray for the safe return of Nicola Bulley, who has been missing for over 2 weeks. We pray for her family in their anguish and ask that your comfort be with them. God of blessing and care, we pray for our own communities and for all outreach activities taking place over this winter to provide support, care and companionship, a little respite and shelter in the cost of living storm. We give thanks for the Warm Spaces Initiative here in our own church and the fellowship it has created in our own village and beyond. God of life, we ask for your healing power for those who are enduring pain and illness. We share the grief of people close to us who have recently lost loved ones. We know your everlasting light of love shines even in the darkest night. God of love and hope, renew us, in us a deeper sense of who we are in you. Help us to be aware of your presence each and every day. Make us instruments of love and praise. May our words, actions and lives be living examples of your forgiving healing, life-giving love, as we bring to you now all who are remembering in our hearts at this time. Father God, be with us in our lives, in the great moments and also in the small. Day by day, be present to guide us, support us, and nurture us in our faith. For all of this, we are asking in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we sing our last hymn, can I say a word of thanks to the worship team, to Marion and Alistair and George, all of whom helped with the planning, and to those who've taken part today, and even Rosemary taking part remotely, thank you, Rob, and thanks to the tech team too. So let us sing our final hymn. It is number 622, We Sing a Love That Sets All People Free, hymn 622.
Be with us all, and with us.